Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
We still have choice, and we still have the ability to seek our own understanding. And so when we contend from our own opinions or perspectives, we need to recognize that we are not letting our spirit be in control, but we're letting our mind and our reason and our soul be dominant. And our soul can be deceived. That's our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that to me is one of the greatest incentives to know the Word of God and to trust by faith.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as we look at the Corinthians in carnality. Well, Janie, we've been looking through the book of 1 Corinthians, and Paul has some really hard sayings throughout this book, and we're going into chapter 3, and he's pretty much calling them some baby Christians. They're very carnal in their Christianity, and as we've discussed in the past, they commingled their culture with their Christianity. They didn't really die to self, and they allowed all of those old ways to continue in their life, that not allowing themselves to become that new creation. So let's start in chapter 3. How about I read verses 1 through 3?
Super.
Okay. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for before you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Boy, those are hard sayings, aren't they?
Well, I was just as you were reading those thinking about if my heart was full of self-assertiveness and self-sufficiency in what I considered my understanding of Scripture and the way I was practicing it, you would have just either angered me beyond belief, or I would have thought, who are you to say these words to me?
Right.
Which then when you find the root of that, I believe that is what we call pride, isn't it?
Well, and yeah, he's saying you've got envy and strife and divisions, and the root of that is pride.
Well, you know, these people were not out just doing their own thing and being complacent and indifferent, as we see much in our culture and our society today. They were wholeheartedly involved in their Christianity. They displayed, as they said, all of the spiritual gifts. They had great orator skills, and they philosophized about the doctrines that they said they adhered to. So for Paul to come in and say, you're babe and carnal, I would imagine they probably felt a little defensive, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
And sometimes it's really hard to see the forest for the trees when we really believe we're doing what's right.
Well, and really, we find ourselves there today. I mean, how many times have we spoken the truth of God's word and had people pretty much lash out at us who are Christians? I mean, that's happened to me many times. You go back to Scripture and they want to say, well, that's not what that means.
Yes. And many times when I visit with people and then rather than saying, Well, what do you mean by that? Could you elaborate more on that so that I know that there's an open mind to at least engage in understanding the Word of God, even if we're coming at it from different perspectives, uh-huh. finding common ground. But instead, there is a real defensiveness to prove their point.
Right.
And that's a point of pride. What is surprising to me in the culture we're in right now with the difficulties that we're facing in looking for some absolutes or the reestablishment of some absolutes is that people use very little scripture, if any at all, to confirm their opinions.
Right. Okay.
Are you tracking
with
me?
I hear that, yes.
All right.
My opinion is from my experience or from my traditions or my denomination or what I've been taught.
And that was promoting in the Corinth church because some liked Paul's style of giving the truth.
Right.
But some like Apollos' style. He was more of an orator. Peter had been there earlier. And Peter, being the temperament and personality that he was, he probably had a little bit of enthusiasm and excitedness and full fire. And some people liked his presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of taking all of those and finding balance, they were breaking off and dividing up into little clans within the church. And Paul was having to reprimand them for that because that was keeping them from moving forward. They were letting the divisions divide rather than the knowledge of what all three were giving bring them to a unity.
Right. And we see that today with our different denominations. I mean, we have the different denominations have different ways about teaching. Some of them may be very enthusiastic and excitable, and others are more teaching and calm and, you know, have a printout maybe for you to follow along. And so there are different styles and ways of teaching that do follow the different denominations. And Paul says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gives to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And so he's taken everything back to the Lord God, that he is the one that's really ultimately in control of everything. And so we tend to divide on the different styles of teaching, the different ways to receive the message, and we kind of want to feel good about the message that we're hearing, don't we?
Absolutely. And one of the things where a message differs is the way the person is using the spiritual gift that has been given them at salvation.
What spiritual gifts are we given at salvation? Does everybody get all the gifts? Like Corinth, they claimed that they had all the gifts.
Well, the gifts, there's three different passages on the gifts, and I don't want to really diversify right now too much on trying to go through all of them, but we do have the miracle gifts, the gift of tongues, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing. We do have the gifts that are to build up the body of Christ. And they were thinking that they had the fullness of all of these, and they were claiming that they had all together. Now, I wasn't at Corinth, so I cannot be a reporter and tell you that each one thought they had them all individually, but the point that Paul was wanting to make is explaining to them how they have misused it and all of the problems they were causing. And that's how he starts to build the book of Corinthians with, look, you've got the wrong kind of wisdom. You've got natural wisdom rather than godly wisdom, but you're claiming to have all wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got divisions, but you're claiming that you're walking in the fullness of the Spirit. You're carnal, people. Wake up.
Right.
All right.
Okay, so if we're looking at the gifts that we were given at salvation,
we will be operating in that gift. So in other words, we each have different personalities, and our personalities are not wrong in and of themselves. They have been given to us by God. But how I choose to use my personality can be very destructive. If I have a strong personality and I use it as a matter of controlling people or intimidating people, then I'm taking my personality and I'm using it selfishly. Okay. I'm using it for my own gain.
And that's kind of what they were doing with the spiritual gifts.
Yes. They were operating in the gifts. They were just operating in them in a carnal manner. Okay. So, well, and stop and think, Sharon, if I give you a gift and I wrap it up in a box and I give it to you, you can take that gift and you can think, wow, this is really a resourceful thing and I want to use it effectually for the reason Janie gave it to me. Or you can take that same gift and decide that you want to use it in another manner that I did not design when I told you I was giving you that gift, and you're misusing the gift that I gave you. Now, do you still have the gift? Yes. Are you using the gift? Yes. It's just that you're using a pair of scissors as though it was a knife. You're only using one blade.
Right. Okay.
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 But you need both blades to make the scissor work for the function and why I gave you scissors.
Mm-hmm.
But if you decide I don't need both these blades, I'm just going to use one, then it turned into a knife.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it doesn't work as well. I've tried that before. Scissors are meant to be scissors for a reason.
That's right. So that's what was happening in Corinth. And so Paul wants to address that, and the reason that he wants to start to interject that is because he's got to now show them what is a solid foundation.
Okay.
He's dressed them down enough, gently, and now he's getting to the fact of being more blunt.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking the first two chapters to lay the groundwork, lay a gentle foundation of acceptance, because the way he's got to dress them down is going to be very discouraging and probably very defensive if he didn't lay a groundwork of absolute security of who they were in Christ.
Okay.
All right.
So he's finding that common ground to say, okay, here's where you're at. This is what you're doing. Letting them know, you know, you have to be carnal. You know, the definition of carnality is the fact that you are allowing envy, strife, and division to cause you problems within the body of Christ.
And so, by your very actions and your words and deed, you are qualifying the definition of what it is to be like a babe.
Right.
You know, a babe thinks only of itself. Everything is geared towards what pleases me, what brings me comfort. And, you know, as a little six-month-old babe, there's a lot of space there for that babe to have that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
But to continue on when you're a grown person to be equally as selfish and self-centered and aggressive and everything gets to being a little bit nauseated. You know, you need to get the diapers off.
Right.
So,
right. Okay.
But let's just go, Sharon, and start talking about what is a solid foundation for a Christian. Now, we know that a true believer has already made one gigantic step in accepting a foundation of knowing that Jesus Christ has forgiven them their sins.
Right.
And few people understand about the crucifixion of the flesh. And by the way, that's really given as an illustration in Romans 6, 3 and 4, when it talks about being baptized, going, you know, and there is a symbol of that we do.
Right.
But there's a deeper meaning that when we're really baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can walk in newness of life, we are saying that we are dying to everything that is not of Him. And if we probably had some better teaching on the baptism, and I'm not talking about baptism for a spiritual gift, I'm talking about baptism from death.
In water.
Yes, from death into life. And there is that symbol that we do when we go through that function.
Uh-huh.
But there's a deeper meaning of when we are saying we are dying to everything that is not of Jesus Christ, and we're raised up out of that death into newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically just an introduction to Romans 6, 3, and 4. That needs to be taught in a wider, more simple format than what it is. So people assume that if I just get baptized, I can stay as carnal or as fleshly as I want, but I've been baptized.
Right.
Right. All right.
And you know, there's those words that are spoken when we're baptized,
you know, buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. Those have little meaning when you don't understand that that has to do with the cross and all that it entails.
Yes. But Sharon, do you find that when you do maybe try to introduce a truth or a precept that is not popularly taught but still is foundationally sound, that there is not a receptibility to it? Do you find that you have to battle it?
Oh, yes. There are scriptures that people really just don't even want to discuss. And we find many of those in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, that there are many valuable lessons to be learned from these two books. And many people want to exclude those from conversation. It's like talking politics. Corinthians. Okay, wait, let's not go there.
Well, I find that when you start to move past the cross as far as justification is concerned, which is basically what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross, mm-hmm. and forgave our sins and got us eternally secure. And then if you go on past that, then they get uncomfortable or they show their lack of understanding.
Right.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think that we are just content to get out of hell and into heaven, but then don't push the other buttons? Why do you think we just don't want to go past that?
Well, Janie, I think because it requires us to be uncomfortable. It requires us to make some sacrifices that we're just not willing to make or we don't think is necessary. Jesus paid it all. I don't have to do anything. Now I can just sit back, relax, and enjoy life.
And yet most people that have that conviction are miserable in their walk.
Well, that's true. That's true because they don't understand past justification. And I can say that because until I understood past justification, I was that way as well.
So were there certain hard sayings or certain experiences or truth as you studied the Bible that caused you to realize my eyes are getting open to something more than just saved and serve?
Well, I think it comes down to, for me, it came down to grasping this idea that had never been placed there. And that was that my flesh was crucified with Christ before I was born. Now, I could accept that he forgave my sins on the cross before I committed them, because there was that point in time when I made that commitment to him and said, please forgive me of my sins. But we don't say, forgive me of my natural man, forgive me of, you know, allowing Satan to have dominion over my life. We don't say all of that. All we ever say when we come to salvation is, forgive me of my sins. And so I think because we make a specific declaration at that point with just that one thing, my sins, the sins that I've committed against God, that we don't really understand or even grab a hold of the fact that my flesh was crucified with Christ, that Satan no longer has dominion over me. And the number of times that I hear Christians talk about the devil and all that he does in their life is really sad, that they give him that place, that they give him that worship, really. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really worship to mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. And so I think there comes a realization when you understand all that the cross did, we're told that because I was forgiven of my sins, now I'm crucified with Christ. Well, it's not like you told us, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, the two-liner, on the cross, Jesus died for me, and on the cross, I died with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that concept, at the time that I made the declaration of giving my life to Christ, those other two things, that Satan no longer has dominion in my life, he no longer has power, that Jesus took care of that at the cross, that was not mentioned in my declaration. And so I think that's why we have such a hard time with it.
So then when circumstances seem to betray those truths, in other words, why am I being oppressed or harassed by actions or circumstances that we realize are really not just my flesh, but they are maybe it is some persecution, or maybe it is somebody else really trying to harm you, or maybe circumstances appear to be more real than what the scriptures say, that probably is going to present conflict within your being.
Okay.
How do you handle that conflict?
Okay, well, that goes back to what I've been saying. It's all about retraining your brain.
Okay.
Okay. So in the past, I would think, well, you know, God's mad at me. I've done something wrong. I've made wrong decisions. You know, very carnal in my thinking. But learning about the cross and learning all that Christ did for me on the cross, that teaching has allowed me to retrain my brain to think differently. So in the past, I would be overcome with Satan's tactics. In the past, I would have been sent into some sort of emotional roller coaster depression because I've made the wrong decision or I've done something wrong and God's mad at me and he's not honoring his part of this deal because I've done something bad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So being victorious and walking in the Spirit is so much easier when you understand the cross.
And you know, when the Lord went to the Garden of Eden each evening and talked to Adam and Eve and fellowshipped and had worship and communion with them, he always gave them truth from the positive. Now, I know that they had not chosen to act independently of that, but you see, he schooled and trained them in what they had the power to stand upon when they were tempted.
Right.
We still have choice, and we still have the ability to seek our own understanding. And so when we contend from our own opinions or perspectives, we need to recognize that we are not letting our spirit be in control, but we're letting our mind and our reason and our soul be dominant. Does that make sense to you, Sharon?
Yes.
Where the spirit, if the spirit's not in control, then we are going to let our soul be in control, and our soul can be deceived. That's our mind, our will, and our emotions, mm-hmm. and it can be tricked and deceived. That,
right.
to me, is one of the greatest incentives to know the Word of God,
right.
and to trust by
Absolutely.
Faith.
Absolutely. And I think that is where I'm coming from, is that there are so many things that if I would allow my emotions and my thinking and my perspective of myself, a lot of times we do that. I've done that for years. You know, my own perspective of myself to to be my final authority.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to allow the scriptures to be our final authority. But that's all the time we have for today, Janie. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.